Fred Film Radio. New directors, new films, New York City, USA.
Joining us at this time on the Big Fred Tuesday is Jonas Bach. We'll be talking about his film, Wood and Water, which is screening at New York's New Directors, New Films this year, and actually premiered earlier this year at the Berlinale, so I'm very happy to have him here. Jonas, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me.
It's lovely to have you here, and we will be talking about Wood and Water. So, first of all, just to kind of introduce the story for our listeners who maybe are not familiar with it, would you be able to tell us a few introductory words on what it's about and its story?
Yeah, so the film is, it's about complicated relationships, and it's about the story of the lost son who left home and lives his adventures out in Hong Kong. But we told this story from the perspective of his mother, who is living in the south of Germany. And the film just, you know, explores what it feels like for the mother or for a parent when what's closest to you is far away, and that distance between mother and son. And we bridge that distance by her traveling to Hong Kong. And as she does this in the times of the pro-democratic protests, it becomes a little bit of an adventure. And yeah, the film is a slow road movie from west to east, from worries to peace of mind. And kind of, to me, it's a proposal to overcome barriers and reconnect.
And the protagonist of this film is, in fact, also your mother, right?
Yes, exactly. Yes. She was kind enough to start acting for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, just in general, would it be fair to say that Wood and Water is a film where the line between reality and fiction is blurred?
Yes, it is blurred. Definitely. I would say that the plot, which is quite minimal, it's only hushed, I think, over the atmosphere of the film. But the plot, what's happening, that journey is fiction. But the emotions underneath it, that's very much my own experience and the experience of my mother.
So she had never been to Hong Kong before this film?
No, she has. She knew Hong Kong because I've been living there for 2 years.
Oh,
I've been living there for 2 years. So she knew the place, and I've been a bit of the lost son, I would say, maybe. I was drawn back to Europe. I was questioning a lot, where's home to me? But as I said, that journey, she had done it before, so she kind of knew Hong Kong already. So that was all acted.
I see. Well, was this the first time that she acted in a film?
Yes, the first time. She didn't really have a clue what I was doing before she started taking part in it, because I've made short films before. But yeah, I wrote the script, and we rehearsed for a long time. We looked for locations together. It was really like a really nice cooperation between mother and son.
So, I mean, how did you help her understand what you were doing? What was the process there?
Well, she was basically playing very much a version of herself, because that element of retirement, well, maybe I didn't mention that in the beginning, but the mother retires from her work at the church. So she kind of enters also a new chapter in her life. And that was what was happening with my mother in real life as well. So that inspired the film. And so she kind of, it was interesting for her to kind of look ahead into the future, what it would feel like to be retired after your working life. And so, yeah, she kind of, yeah, as I said, she acted a version of herself, and lots of the emotions obviously were very close to her.
Was she comfortable in front of the camera? Some people find that difficult, including myself to some extent, for example.
Yeah, me too. Me too, yeah. We were quite a small team, cinematographer, sound, camera assistant, gaffer, and we all spent a lot of time together beforehand. Well, few days, like a week or two, before we set off to shoot the first part by the seaside. So she knew everyone, and we had dinners together, and that really helped to make her comfortable, I think. And then, I mean, it was really close. It was really, I told her, the classic thing you say to an actor and a non-actor as well, don't worry about the camera and everyone else. So it was really just, we were constantly in, you know, close, like kind of shutting everything out around us as much as we could.
Right.
Give her a lot of freedom.
Yeah, and you probably didn't want the quote-unquote acting performance of a Laurence Olivier or some mm-hmm. traditional theatrical actor, right? It was it wouldn't have suited the style that you were going for.
No, and it's good that you mentioned that. She's never really went that direction either. She always just was herself, really, and kind of really inspired. She inspired her person, inspired the character she plays very much, and also where the film goes, and maybe the overall, let's say, message of the film.
You, to describe the film earlier, you used the term slow road movie. How would you describe mm-hmm. this term?
A meditative film, I would mm-hmm. say. A film, a journey that invites the viewer to experience this new world alongside at the same pace as the mother, and to give the chance to the viewer with kind of long takes and lingering observational camera work. Kind of to discover something for themselves.
Is it a more interactive style of filmmaking, would you say? Do you feel that the spectator is allowed more freedom even to interact with the film in a personal way?
Yeah, through the form, that was my hope, that, you know, as I said, that you can discover something for yourself. You can, you know, I think slow cinema to me is really a very personal experience for me to make the film, obviously, and also for the audience. I think I want everyone to take something out that's very personal to them from the film and from this experience of Hong Kong and the protests and everything that's going on.
And so how do you approach that when you're filming it, though? Do you already know exactly what you're filming, or do you also let the environment where you find yourself influence the direction of the camera, the style of the movie?
It was quite spontaneous and driven by intuition, I think, the way we shot, especially in Hong Kong. The first part of the film, which is, you know, just kind of lingering on her memories and on stillness in her life, that was, quite a locked off approach in terms of camera and quite close to her. But afterwards in Hong Kong, it was quite important, I think, for me to shoot on a wide angle a lot, as I said, so that you can experience other things as well in the image and the sound as well. So yeah, it was, for me, Hong Kong was also a little bit, I would say, maybe I used the character or my mother as a bit of a pretext to explore Hong Kong for the audience.
A large part of which is set in Hong Kong, and obviously it's such a delicate situation there with the Hong Kong democratic protests and Blush. Your film, Wood and Water, may be one of the first films I have actually seen that actually integrates real footage of the Hong Kong protests within a narrative context.
I think there are some Hong Kong films that played, I think, in Rotterdam earlier in the year and throughout the last year since the Umbrella Movement. I think there has been films, but yeah, I mean, the protests or the that change that was going on in Hong Kong, that was there from the beginning when I wrote the script in early 2019. We didn't know that it would sort of, that the protests, that it would kick off in that way. So, you know, I had little scenes, for example, of the Victoria Park vigil on the 4th of June, where they remember the Tiananmen massacres, ocean of candlelights, little images like that I'd written in the script. And then throughout the process of making, other things influenced the script, which was very adaptable as we went along. And then obviously, I think we had planned to shoot in October early in the year, but we hadn't planned that on the first day of shooting, there would be a big protest march right in front of our location. So yeah, we were quite spontaneous also about going down there, but it was really, it was not easy to decide how much, what we're going to use of the protests and how we're going to use them. You know, I just wanted to kind of, the personal and the political to really happen alongside each other, but never cross each other too much, maybe inspire each other a little bit, but not to comment too much on what's going on.
Right, because in your film, there's the side of the protest, but also it almost seems like you turn a block and it's a different world.
Yes, exactly. And that's very much what it was like in Hong Kong. Right. The protest happened on the main road, and yeah, you turn down two streets and it's quiet and life is normal. It kind of echoes through the streets a little bit, but yeah, it's there definitely, but it's also not there.
But by the time you started filming, the protests and this kind of delicate situation was already in the air and you had lived through it.
Yeah.
So what was it, personally speaking, what was it like to live during those times?
It was something that really connected me with the place, I would say, because I've been living there for 2 years, and it was kind of difficult sometimes. Language was a massive barrier, and I always knew that this would come to an end this time in Hong Kong. But through the protests, it was kind of, at first when it started, it was a bit of I felt like a bit like an adrenaline tourist. I was watching the protests, but they had a huge impact on me, and it was really a positive spirit in the beginning, at least from it, because when you're down there on the street and thousands of people around you are marching for basic human rights, it's hard not to feel that this would have a positive outcome. So, and this kind of is what also rubbed off on my mother when we were there, because I mean, this was real. So, her reaction to it was real, and it was one very positive, and empathy for the people. And, you know, you would feel hope for them, and you would want what they want.
So you don't live in Hong Kong anymore?
No, I've moved back to Germany now.
And was that also because...
It was to make the film. I was just there to make the film. I was there for 1 year because my wife was working as a lawyer. And then the second year I was making the film, more or less. And then we decided to move back, which wasn't directly connected to the protests or the change in politics.
I seem to understand, though, that while you were filming, while you were making the film, the positivity was still in the air. And obviously, since then, things are not looking as good.
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah, it was very, very sad at the end, leaving Hong Kong and with what happened there. Uh-huh. But yeah.
So I saw that I was reading the press release for Wood and Water, too. And I saw the title of Chantal Ackerman's News from Home mentioned, and I wanted to ask you whether you were guided, were also guided by this influence.
I had actually seen the film only afterwards. I'd only seen Jan Dielman by Chantal Ackerman before, and that was a great experience. Yes. And really taught me a lot of what cinema can be. And I saw News from Home afterwards, and it's an incredible film, yeah, and I guess there are parallels, yeah, for sure.
And so the atmosphere of the film is kind of enriched by the music from Brian Eno. I wondered how that decision kind of came about, and just the process of choosing the music that would work well with your images.
So at first the film didn't have music. I hadn't planned music, and I tried over certain scenes, a couple of scenes I thought that kind of maybe bring out moments where you feel the connection between mother and son, east and west, and kind of the linking elements, and maybe also the dualities that I wanted to connect. There, I just tried some drone music because I thought that would help maybe a little bit to bring out these emotions. And we tried a few things with the composer, but it didn't quite work. And just by accident, by chance, I came across this track by Brian Eno, and I tried it out. And I don't know, it just felt like, you know, I'm on the mothership when I listen to this music, or I'm connected to everything, really. It's so beautiful, metallic, sweet, this deep drone. And yeah, I loved it very much. And yeah, we asked the record label, and I think they approached him, and he was okay with it. So I've got to thank him a lot.
So as someone who has worked and lived in Hong Kong, and you did refer to this kind of meeting of East and West, how do you feel this bridge between these two cultures is right now? There's been a lot of tension. We've mentioned the protests, but let's not forget that we're also living in the times of the pandemic. So the news went crazy over, you know, just the situation. You know, for a while, there was a certain president that continued to refer to the virus as the Chinese flu or something like that. So, I mean, how do you feel? What are your takes on the current cultural situation there?
I would see it as a chance, maybe even. Yes, I tried to connect East and West, and it felt even hard for me personally living in Hong Kong to connect in the way that the film turns out to connect it. But I think the pandemic, it's kind of brought distance between us, at least for the time being. And I think this is maybe a chance to start fresh. And if we can travel again, if we can travel in the way that maybe the mother travels in the film, quite full of curiosity and maybe a bit of innocence and kind of rediscovering other parts and cultures of the world. Maybe there's a chance, at least. Yeah, that's what I tried. That's what I see now when I look at the film. And I see how the pandemic maybe is something you would think of when you watch the film now.
And, you know, having seen the film, I know what the title refers to it. But is there something of what you just said also reflected in this specific choice for the title of this film, Wood and Water?
I think it's a title that only makes sense when you know, a little bit about the Eastern spirituality and about fortune reading and the Chinese horoscope or the five Chinese elements, which wood and water is a part of. And yeah, so the title came about by research and finding out what a real fortune teller in Hong Kong would read into my mother's life. And he would say that she belongs to water. She lacks wood, and therefore she would probably live near a forest in order to balance out her elements. And that inspired the title. And yeah, there's definitely a strong connection to me that came by chance, but maybe not so much by chance.
All right, Jonas, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Yes, thank you very much, Matt.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.